Hello, America. This is the place for uncensored talk on everything that divides us as a nation. I'm Alan Jacoby, and welcome to The Great Divide. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Great Divide podcast. With me today, I have a special guest. I have Rabbi Yaakov Menken. He is the managing director for the Coalition for Jewish Values. Rabbi, thank you for joining me today. How are you?
Thank you for having me. Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, good. So I wanted to talk to you. First, I want everyone to know, my listening and watching audience, what the Coalition for Jewish Values is all about. You have a great website, which will all be in the show notes, but give us a little background on what that organization's about.
Okay. About 4.5 years ago, beginning months of the Trump administration, a group of rabbis from the traditional community were upset to note that nobody was speaking out on behalf of traditional Jewish values in representation of the Jewish community. The only voices you had representing traditional biblical values in the public sphere were Christian, and all the Jews you heard for were telling the Christians they were wrong for following the Bible, which is a little problematic when you're a Jew. And at least if you're committed to authentic Jewish values and Judaism. And besides that, they were saying everything possible wrong about the Trump administration. That it was filled with anti-Semitism, that Bannon was a closet anti-Semite, that Gorka was a closet anti-Semite, and it was all going to be a disaster for the Jews. And this, of course, was before he moved the embassy, defunded the terrorists supporting Palestinian Authority, recognized Jewish sovereignty in the Golan Heights, created a peace proposal that recognized the Jews have the right to live in Judea, and brokered the Abraham Accords, bringing peace to the Middle East for the first time in 30 years. That's really not the record of an anti-Semitic president, if you ask anybody with a working brain.
But exactly.
And that's where we were. And we could see the writing on the wall. And that's why we created an organization. Just, you know, we're not a partisan organization. We speak up for traditional values. If you go back 60 years, you find that the Democratic Party of 60 years ago and the Democratic Party of today are promoting entirely different things with regards to biblical values. In many areas, what the Democrats are supporting today, promoting today, are the very things the Democrats of 40 years ago called mental illness. Well, you know, so it's not our fault that we're being cast as partisan. We're supporting the same agenda we had 3,300 years ago.
Right. And it just amazes me, the whole Donald Trump is an anti-Semite, when his own daughter has converted to Judaism because she married a Jew, raising their children in the Jewish faith. And as you and I had spoken, we know that he is very proud of that. Donald Trump is very proud of that. So, you know, where does it ever end? You know, can people see through all of the BS and realize that the big bad orange man, I guess you have to really want to, I call him, you know, the big bad orange boogeyman who haunts Democrats' minds, realize that he's the furthest from an anti-Semite than most, I'd say probably most politicians out there, and he's not a politician, but political figures, you know?
He definitely has his heart in the right place. And when you look at the policies that he supports and what he was doing, I mean, honestly, because we're not a partisan organization and we want to appear nonpartisan, we were actively looking for opportunities. Whenever the Trump administration moves us in the wrong direction on our values, it has to be related to our values. It has to be our issue, but we're going to find that opportunity. And then he refused to make that bad move.
because he's a rational thinking human. He knew that, I mean, there are he's not going to make that bad move. He is not this big bad anti-Semite that the left perceives him as and pushes that agenda, no matter how much they know about his family, how much they know about his history. Now they'll bring up something that he did as a billionaire in his 30s that maybe might not be kosher to everybody, but that's what they'll harp on instead of realizing the good he did, like everything he's done for the Jewish community. And it's just sickening. It's sickening. The biggest thing with this anti-Semitism that's fueled by the left, because I look and I try to find this big bad anti-Semitic ideology that's supposedly flowing from the right, and I can't find it. And I look for it, like, you know, are there people on the right that are anti-Semitic? Absolutely, but they make it sound like it's this big plague. Or just as much as if you wear a Make America Great Again hat, now you're a domestic terrorist.
If you wear a MAGA hat, that means you're an anti-Semite, you support all the bad things that you find, you know. It's crazy, I agree with you.
And that also brings me to, we have, you know, our United States Congress, which to me right now, both sides just are, right now in the political climate, I think both sides are equally as useless. There's a lot of showboating. There's a lot of standing behind the podium calling each other out, but there's no action. Like, we have this whole Afghanistan issue, and we have sitting members of Congress, members of Congress who hate the Jews and love terrorist organizations in the Middle East. And we know who we're talking about. Ilhan Omar, you wrote an op-ed back in July, I believe, mentioning her. You have Rashida Tlaib, I don't even care if I'm pronouncing her name right, she doesn't deserve the courtesy, who just recently, I believe in Texas, was either a speaker and a honored guest at a fundraiser of an organization, and the organization, slips my mind, just happened, that has ties to Hamas. They're a Hamas-supporting organization, and I believe that one of the founders even has connections to the Taliban. I don't know that for sure. And she's there speaking and supporting this organization who hates Israel, hates the Jews, haphazardly fires thousands of rockets into them, killing civilians, and then hiding under hospitals. So, you know, if Israel goes after them, they look really bad in the strip. So I feel like we live in bizarro world with these members of Congress. I call them the Jihad Squad. AOC, Omar, Tlaib, Ayanna Pressley, Cori Bush, all of them. They hate America. They hate the police. They hate the Jews. They hate white people.
Well, you have to understand what we're dealing with when it comes to the squad. It's interesting, you know, and we can get into the topic of the suppression of free speech by the left and big tech. But definitely. I happened to be looking on Amazon yesterday, verifying that you can't get a copy through Amazon of When Harry Became Sally, a completely reasonable book about certain of the risks of transgender and treating gender dysphoria by encouraging it and the risks of all that. And so I ended up verifying for my own, just to be sure that I knew and I was correct on my facts, that Amazon will, in fact, sell you a copy of Hitler's Mein Kampf.
Yes.
Because When Harry Became Sally is infinitely more hateful than Adolf Hitler. Okay, so that's a thing. So I am reading... I have been to say, okay, let's do a search on the word Jew in the sample that I downloaded of Mein Kampf. And I come upon a quote that says, when one understands this race, meaning the Jews, one will pierce the veil. One will get past the obfuscation and really understand what National Socialism, a.k.a. the Nazis, are all about. Now, who recently said something about how the Jews have a veil up and we have to pierce the veil, that they've hypnotized the world, the Jews have? That's Ilhan Omar from 2012.
That's right.
So this is not her rhetoric. And you know what, the obscenity of this is hearing the left insist that if you go after her, it's because she's a Muslim black refugee woman. Now, there's a reason why David Duke is saying, oh, yeah, listen to Ilhan Omar. And believe me, David Duke, the racist, the white supremacist racist, is not interested in her because she's a black Muslim refugee woman, but because she hates Jews, because she rephrases Adolf Hitler in Mein Kampf. That is what we are dealing with. And anybody who obfuscates and pretends otherwise is almost directly supporting Nazi rhetoric in Congress. And sadly, that includes the entire rest of the squad, the Congressional Progressive Caucus, which says it's all about, you know, they're placing these attacks on her because she's a refugee woman or this, that, or the other. Yep. You know, Rashida Tlaib shows up in Congress for the first time wearing a Palestinian Toby. Well, guess what? A Toby is a completely conventional Arab garment. It's like saying that because I'm an Italian suit, I'm wearing an Italian suit, I'm showing off my non-existent Italian origins. You know, it's absolutely, you know, it's crazy. And, you know, but they're not interested in the truth. They're not interested in supporting civil rights. If you actually look at what they've said about Afghan refugees, they're not even interested in Afghans in Afghanistan who are now going to be living under oppression. All they want to talk to you about is open borders and letting in 50,000 unvetted Afghans into America to change our values.
Right. And that's exactly what she wants. She wants the American values to change. I mean, and what's interesting is she supports all of that. Doesn't she realize the oppression she'll get and receive as a woman if those values, God forbid, were adopted and practiced? I mean, she's a woman.
The leftist intersectionality is about a common hatred for traditional values. Which direction you go in afterwards seems to vary, because Ilhan Omar in particular is wearing a Muslim hijab, which is a, you know, it's a great tradition if you adopt it because you want to, but not if you adopt it because you are forced to by the Taliban. And most of the countries that are identified with Sharia law that require that one follow those also will take an LGBTQ identifying person, throw them off a building, and drag them through the street.
Yeah.
So and yet this is the intersectionality between a Muslim supporting Sharia law who is also supporting a whole series of LGBTQ initiatives in the United States. We just want to rip you away from traditional values and common sense. It doesn't matter in what direction we go afterwards.
The direction is complete chaos, and it's all hypocritical to what they want, to the direction it would go in. I mean, take the LGBTQRSTXYZ community. That's what I call them, because I don't know. They add so many genders and so many letters now, it's hard to keep up. You know,
I remember when it was gay and lesbians, and then I remember when it was LGBT.
Right, right.
And then they added Q, and then they added IC or something else. They're running out of letters of the alphabet. It's a problem.
I mean, we went from two genders to 106, so I don't know where it lies.
OKCupid, I believe, identifies 22 different gender identities, but
really?
But it only gives you 6 different dating choices, which is kind of odd because it leaves a lot of people out of the picture. And by the way, I'm not up on OKCupid. I certainly haven't visited there recently. I'm happily married since long before OKCupid came along. So I have no idea what they're up to more recently than that. But as last I heard, it was 22.
That's unbelievable. You know, it's funny with all the genders and pronouns. I was literally just shown something this morning of a local elementary school, middle school, sixth grade, a sixth grade chorus class questionnaire that was given from the first day of school, which I believe was yesterday for this school, on what sixth graders, what are your pronouns? This is what a chorus teacher puts in a questionnaire. What are your pronouns? Teachers, teachers are not teachers anymore. They're activists. Not all of them, but the amount of activists in the public education system is unbelievable. I mean, that I just did an episode about the TikTok video that teacher in California put out. I don't have a flag. You don't have to say the words for the Pledge of Allegiance. You can. And then when a student says, well, what are we going to say the Pledge of Allegiance to? Because she says she's digging out the American flag that she packed away, which she's not. And then there, she wants them to pledge allegiance to the pride flag. I think it's the pride and trans flag.
Oh, goodness.
And then you have the other teacher that Project Veritas filmed undercover openly admitting, I believe he's getting fired. They had a meeting this week about firing him. He's got the he's got the Soviet sickle tattoo on his chest. He's active in Antifa. He has the Antifa flag on his classroom wall. He says he has 180 days to make these children revolutionaries, and the way he's going to do it is by scaring the F out of them. And this is what is possibly teaching your children. And
well,
I tell
look at what happened with Greta Thunberg.
Oh, my God.
Who is, you know, just the abuse of her, the way that they scared her into believing all kinds of completely unreasonable things about, you know, about the world that we live in and the world that we are custodians over and the benefit that we're supposed, it's evil to derive from the world. You know, it's just, I'll tell you two things about pronouns and LGBTQ and transgender and the whole pronoun thing. First of all, you're giving me a wonderful opening to plug my own Twitter feed. It's Y Mencken. But if you go look at my profile, it took about 3 months for somebody to finally notice that I was trolling. Because I put, yeah. Cause
the trolling rabbi, everyone. The trolling rabbi. This is great.
Because I put in preferred pronouns in my Twitter profile, which are a bunch of Hebrew characters. So most people don't understand them. But what they translate into is his honor, his holiness, and the rabbi and genius, which are titles bestowed upon rabbis in whose circles I cannot hope to achieve entry. There is a, you know, there are levels of scholarship. Judaism really is, bottom line, a meritocracy. There are levels of scholarship and levels of holiness and level of brilliance in understanding things. And, you know, there are people literally walking around today who can tell you about any Talmudic passage from memory.
Wow.
Which is, it takes at a rate of a two sides of a page a day, it takes 7.5 years to go through that document. And there are people who can quote passages from the entire thing or discuss something from an entire thing. And I know some of these people, and I have spoken to them, and I do not hope, I will not, you know, achieve, I recognize in myself that I'm not going to be able to achieve that level of greatness in scholarship to be worthy of those titles. But if a man gets to call himself a woman and a woman gets to call herself a duck, I can call myself rabbi and genius.
Why not?
Why not? Yeah, those are my preferred pronouns. Now, that was story number one. I have a daughter, story number two, who works in a clinic where they provide certain behavioral services and counseling for autistic children. Prior to COVID, one of the kids, you know, there were several kids in the clinic, then they basically had to shut down and do remote learning during COVID. When they came back, one of the young children came back as the opposite gender at age six.
Oh my God.
At age six. Now, she pointed out to me, I said, you know, we don't let a kid vote. We don't let a kid shoot a gun. We don't, you know, everything has to be under. She says, no. When you're dealing with an autistic child doesn't get to choose what they want for lunch. Right. You don't get, they're not capable of making those most basic choices and communicating them. So it was absolutely 100% the parents.
Absolutely.
Just imposing on the kid what the kid ought to be rather than what the kid was born to be.
I tell you, you bring up something that, so one, it's unbelievable. It's disgusting. To me, I won't make any bones about it. It's criminal. It's criminal. It's child abuse. And especially for a child that's autistic on any type of spectrum, special needs, whatever it is. You mentioned
underage is 100% child abuse.
Underage.
You mentioned an 18-year-old decides they want to mutilate themselves. I mean, there's a reason why we call it mutilation when it happens in Africa. You know, it's a disgrace. If a person wants to cut off their hand, we get them counseling. We don't cut off their hand.
Right.
But, you know, but nonetheless, when they're over 18, it's their own mental illness. It's their own psychosis. It's their own dysphoria that they need counseling to deal with. They need compassion. They need help. They don't need to be encouraged. But underage, 100%, it's just abuse. It's just, there's no two ways about it.
Absolutely. And what's interesting is you say, well, if I want to cut off my hand, they're going to get me counseling. But the federal government, we have a member in the cabinet who's a very, very, who's a man who dresses up as a very, very ugly woman. The Assistant Secretary of Health, was it Dr. Rachel Levine, whatever his name is.
Right.
And who advocated before and still, as now in a cabinet position, advocates for genital mutilation of minors and advocates for parents' rights to be taken away from their children. So when that 7 or 8 or 9 or 10-year-old goes into their school nurse and says, I don't want to be a boy anymore, I don't want to be a girl anymore, and they have the right to go ahead and get them puberty blockers, drugs, and encourage them for genital mutilation. If I walked in as a 10-year-old boy into my high school, into my school nurse and said, I want to cut off my hand, they would have me in the school psychologist and mental health therapy for my remaining adolescent years.
And suicide. A person decides they want to take their own life. Yes. An adult who says they want to take their own life. We don't encourage that. We don't allow that. Unless, I mean, that's the new thing also. Unless they're dying anyway, and then we start talking about quality of life as if we had any way of understanding how precious life really is. You know, all of these things, you know, it's interesting how it rolls together. And people don't recognize it. You've got a hostility to values, a hostility to human rights, and a hostility to Judaism, anti-Semitism,
absolutely,
all rolled up together. And that's how it always works. The reason, why do people hate Jews? Jews are the canary in the coal mine on human rights and tolerance. Because the Jews are always this minority community that just wants people to get along, have the right to live as they live and not bother anybody else. And neighbors should help neighbors, and neighbors should be, you know, and you know, like you look at the reality of the situation. Just recently, the Afghans, there's a fellow in New York, a Hasidic leader who was instrumental in passing the First Step Act, because he had recognized how bad sending white collar criminals to jail, sending people to jail for excessively long sentences when they only did one harmless crime.
Right.
This was actually harmful to people, damaging to America. And he helped get Republican support for the First Step Act, which, of course, passed during the Trump administration, and helped in the vast majority, helped ethnic minorities.
Of course.
You know, and he did it knowing I'm going to help everybody. Well, this same guy when he learned that members of an Afghani family, the mother was here and trying to get her children out before the border shut down, he's the one who got those four kids out. He's the one who got the entire Afghan women's soccer team out of Afghanistan because they would be targeted by the Taliban. He got women judges and women legislators out of Afghanistan because they would have been targeted by the Taliban.
Yeah.
So you have, you know, the when you look at where the Jewish community really is, and they're organizing in Spring Valley, they're working with the Haitian community in Spring Valley because of the recent Haitian earthquake.
Right.
And doing rescue and providing services down there. That's where the Jewish community really is. And what do you get on television of a fictional portrayal coming out of Hollywood? The Orthodox community is my unorthodox life. They're a bunch of fundamentalists where you don't get an education. Well, it's like, and if you complain about it, this is the classic thing, like blaming the Jews for anti-Semitism. Yeah. If you complain about that show, it's because you're not willing to listen to this poor woman's pain. It's like, no, excuse me. We were very fine with listening to her, and we understand that she had a bad experience, but when she claims that it's a fundamentalist community where she couldn't do creative things, she was the dance lead in her high school performance. She claimed she didn't get an education as she was taking AP classes and outscoring the state average by far on the Regents exam. Because the school to which she went was very academically demanding and even on a dual curriculum provided an extremely good education. So you got to tell the truth. But in Hollywood, you do not have to tell the truth, especially about Jews. No. You notice how Scarlett Johansson was booted from a role as a transgender because a non-transgender person cannot possibly accurately portray the transgender experience? Remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Now apply that to Hasidic Jews.
Right.
When is the last time you saw a Hasidic Jew portray a Hasidic Jew in Hollywood?
It's true.
It's never happened. As far as I know, it's never happened.
I don't think it has.
The last Orthodox actor I know was Stephen Hill because he became Orthodox along the way. Mission Impossible.
Yeah,
he was in The Firm with Tom Cruise wearing a hat because he couldn't show his yarmulke.
You know, it's amazing. It's amazing also how this is great. It's amazing how the left will call Orthodox Jews. They'll call them anti-Semites, like they hate the they. Well, let's look at Ben Shapiro. Ben Shapiro's called a racist.
Oh,
every
totally.
Time he opens his mouth, and he is, I mean, he is very Orthodox. He talks about it, and he's
our organization also. You know how Mary Miller, the new congresswoman from Illinois, she's totally not a politician. She stands up in front. This is a day before the Trump rally. A day before. She stands up in front of a crowd of women. It was conservative women. It was, I don't remember the name of the organization. But she says, look, Hitler got one thing right. He who controls the children controls the future. And that's why you better inculcate your children with values before they get indoctrinated. Now, that was extremely good advice, and she was using Hitler's name to point out how dangerous that was. She immediately got called an anti-Semite, got condemned by all the leftists in Congress and in the Chicago and in the Illinois legislature, and we, for defending her, got called rabbis for Hitler.
Unbelievable.
And what she said was, I got a son who, at that time, he was in 12th grade, and I told him what was going on. He says to me, when you say that somebody got one thing right, you do not admire that person. You're saying they got everything else wrong. That's what it means to say. The guy got one thing right.
Exactly.
The idea that she was in favor of promoting Hitler or anti-Semitic was ridiculous. And you know, by the way, there's a woman who's very concerned about genuine anti-Semitism in Congress, and she knows exactly what she's looking at.
Yeah. You know, you rang a couple things with me as far as indoctrination. I'll start with that. So, I'm heavily engaged in fights with the public school system. I actually just pulled my 8-year-old last week. She's going into fourth grade. Pulled her out of the public school system, more so because of the ridiculous mask mandates that the Board of Education in my area collapsed to. I'm in New York. We have now a more tyrannical governor now than the guy who got
booted,
grabbed a bunch of butts and whatnot. So anyway, I pulled her out because of the mask mandates. Board of Ed didn't want to stand up to the state. Whatever, we're doing homeschooling, cooperative, the whole thing. But the indoctrination. So let's look at the current administration and what they want to do. Because exactly, you want to know something? Hitler did do that right. He got to the kids. He got to the women. You have the Hitler Youth. You had the men and boys. They took them from their families. He wanted to breed them. He knew what he was doing. So let's look at our current administration, the Biden administration. He wants 2 years of government-funded pre-K. He wants another 2 years of government-funded community college. So now I send my kid to pre-K. Anything that's government-funded is going to come with a government message. It's indoctrination, critical race theory. America is bad. There are 106 genders. We're going to have everything that's evil that comes from the progressive left will now be seeded into these sponge-like minds of these children. Then they'll go through grade school with that indoctrination and then really screw them up, and they'll become those Antifa leftist progressive revolutionaries by the time they graduate that government-funded community college. And then what do we get? We get the extinction of conservatism. We get the extinction of anything, Rabbi, that you ever stand for in your religion, because they'll exterminate the Jewish religion along with everything else, and we'll all be either in shackles or forced to dress up as women and putting lipstick on each other. This is what the left wants to see America as, and it's horrifying that I have to worry about my child, who's 9 years old, and protect her from this evilness. It's ungodly. It's Satanism to me of what our federal government is doing. We have a man who dresses up as a woman on the cabinet talking about genital mutilation. And I constantly fight the indoctrination. I tell everybody, you have to aim for the school boards. You have to get behind candidates that want to run for school board who preserve the values of, I don't know, normalcy in America. And it's just concerning. But yeah, Hitler did do that right. And you know who's doing it, attempting to do the same exact thing? The Biden administration and the progressive left. They're coming after our children. And what's scary, Rabbi, is the parents that agree with me, I'm actually battling with and having fights with on social media, because they would rather live on their knees in the convenience, because the public school system is their babysitter, because they have lives, they have tennis practice, they get rid of their kids for 6 hours a day. Don't you want to know what's going on with your child for 6 and 8 hours a day? I tell people I'm an advocate for cameras and with audio, with a feed that's accessible to parents in every public classroom. And you know what people tell me? Conservatives say, No. That is a violation of privacy in the classroom. There should be no privacy in the classroom.
Right.
I
should have access to what my kid is 100%. Learning. Absolutely. But you're making a mistake when you talk about this as just a new problem. Going on in America ever since public education was introduced.
Yes.
It, as compared to governments in other parts of the world, other first world countries. Like, you don't have to tell the Jews about the values of education. Mm-hmm. We knew that everybody had to learn and everybody had to study and everybody had to be literate when nobody else in the world believed it to be true. Vishinantam levanecha v'dibartabam. You should teach it to your children and you should speak about it. Torah, that every child should be fluent and every child should know what to do and how to behave and how to be a good citizen, which you don't learn in the public schools. a lot of this, this has been our tradition. We didn't need to be told this. But, and by the way, take that back to New York, where they're busy trying to tell the Hasidic system how to do education, as if they didn't know. As if the Hasidic system was not right now producing superior outcomes by far to the public school system. But there's one thing that's been going on for more than a generation, and that is, as you described, they're using it blatantly for indoctrination. And it's a, as you, if you look in Canada, Canada never regarded itself as a melting pot, but as a mosaic, which means that there's government funding for Christian schools and Muslim schools and Jewish schools and atheist schools and secular schools, all of the above. Whereas in the United States, you get to send your child for free to public education. And if you want something different for your child, you not only have to pay taxes for the public school system, you've also got to pay the full cost of educating your child.
Yeah.
Now, I have, thank God, a good number of children, more than your national average. And I had to put, I had to pay over $100,000 a kid to put them through school. You know?
Wow.
So yeah, I, you know, it's like you think about it and it's like, you know, it, but it's plain and simple when you look at, and by the way, yeah, we do send our kids to playgroup and pre-kindergarten and then kindergarten and, you know, and yeah, we continue educating after going into the college years. And all of that costs a lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, let's face it. The Hasidic community never stops educating. I mean, in adulthood, you're constantly...
And the Orthodox community overall. Yeah, yes. I mean, that's not just... It happened to be the Hasidic that they're really picking on because of the fewer hours that they spend on secular subjects. But they don't value education. It's that they have a different... Now, it happens to be that one of the mayoral candidates, Adams, Eric Adams...
Yeah, Eric
he's,
Adams.
I think he's going to get the job.
Of course.
And
he's the one who said
we have to stop thinking about only Anglo-Saxon models of education. There's other ways to educate the children that also do well, and you got to look at outcomes. As soon as you start looking at outcomes, the Hasidic system outperforms. The Orthodox system outperforms. You've got people running businesses, knowing economics, knowing how to function. Yet you got, by the way, you got these guys who are like tremendous businessmen. They got all the smarts. They got it together. And they clearly speak English as a second language.
Right.
Growing up in New York.
That always gets me. Exactly. English is their second language. And
I can't do a Yiddish accent. I wish I could. You know, it's like, my Yiddish fachmeises. Ich kenn nicht reden Yiddish. But the guys who have the accent and they talk like, no, I can't do it. I start sounding like I'm from Dracula from Transylvania. But
I'm very familiar with it. And I'm very familiar with it. I deal with the Orthodox and the Hasidic community very much in one of my businesses.
Can I grab the third? I'm going to electrocute myself right here. I mean, people are going to say, this guy is completely crazy that he would dare to question something which they've been teaching in the public schools for generations without allowing any contrary dissent, any other viewpoint. Because they said we have to follow the science. By the way, if you want to follow the science, XY chromosome, XX, follow the science, Bubba. Okay. Evolution.
Yeah.
The idea that human existence came about by chance. And we evolved one from the other entirely by chance. That there was no direction over the process. One of the second most prominent evolutionary biologist after Darwin himself was a guy named Weissman. And Weissman said, we are obligated to accept the principles of natural selection as they're the only way to explain our existence that doesn't depend on a creator. That's not a scientific statement. That's a philosophical statement. He says, I have to believe in evolution because I don't want to believe in God. The theory of intelligent design doesn't actually contradict anything about the mechanics of evolution. All it says is that there was a designer behind the process. And if you look at the mathematics of it, in every scientific and engineering field, you will find more devout believers in God amongst the mathematicians, the people who know probability, and the engineers, far more than in the soft fields like English and history and philosophy. And oh, by the way, biology. Biology is the one obvious exception, because an evolutionary biologist is a self-selecting. You got to believe in evolution to become an evolutionary biologist.
Yeah.
If you look at microevolution, Judaism has a principle that there's a not a species, but a type. And a type is larger, like all, there's many, 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 many different species of pig. But they're all pigs. Peccaries right. are pigs. You look at their snout, you just look at their face. You're such a beautiful ponim. You're like a little Jewish boy. You can tell what a pig looks like when you look at his face. You can tell what a camel looks like. There are four species of camel that only exist in South America. Alpacas and guanacos and two other that I can't even remember. And you look at their face and they're all... But these are all identified as types in the Bible. And this, by the way, you want to disprove the Bible? It's very easy. The Bible was written by down in the Middle East. It was written down in the Middle East. It wasn't created in the Middle East, but it was written down over there. How is it you can go all over the world and you can't find a species that has cloven hooves and doesn't chew its cud that isn't a pig? How come you can't find me a domesticated species, a domesticated animal? There are two wild animals, and we honestly have lost track of what they were, because they're wild animals. But there's only one domesticated animal that does not have a cloven hoof, but does chew its cud, and that's the camel. The Talmud says if you know what a camel is, and you know what a pig is, and you find a species with one trait and not the other, it chews its cud, or it has a cloven hoof, you know it's a kosher species, you're ready to go. It's kosher.
Wow.
Because as long as you know the camel from the pig and the pig from everything else, and then again, it's about the face, all of that. So evolutionary biologists, where is your other species? Find me something that makes sense. Find me, by the way, what's the evolutionary trail of a platypus? Robin Williams, may he rest in peace, described the platypus as God's spare parts collection.
It makes sense.
He takes that, you know, he took the beak of a duck, the body of a beaver, stuck a beaver tail on the thing, poison in its feet like a bat, right. And, you know.
Evolution is a...
There's no evolutionary relatives for a platypus. In fact, the first guy in the British Museum who got a platypus sent to him. First, they were sent a drawing from Australia of a platypus. And they said, oh, nonsense. Go sell us another one. Then they got the actual body of a platypus. That body has damage to its bill from where the guy tried to cut it off to prove it was a fake. He was so convinced that until they got an actual live breathing platypus, they couldn't believe such a thing would ever exist.
Yeah. Now that you think about it. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The spare
and yet man. Evolution is treated as that's the science. And if you dare question it, you're some radical, unthinking idiot. Well, meanwhile, the people who doubt it are the guys with the engineering degrees or who studied probability. Because one of there was an agnostic named Doyle, Hoyle. I'm trying to know. Yeah, it's Hoyle, because Doyle is the guy who wrote Sherlock Holmes. Fred Hoyle was the guy who was the director of astronomical sciences or whatever in England, who said the chances of life being assembled at random is kind of like imagining a tornado going through a junkyard and assembling a 747 from the parts.
That's wild. That's
he was saying that it's astronomically improbable that this should have happened by chance. Does that make him a... By the way, he was an agnostic. He, despite recognizing that fact, couldn't say, oh, I'm a believer in God. But, you know, you find people who believe in God, as compared to the atheist, to be an atheist, you have to believe in evolution. You can't believe in alternatives without running into the problem that Hoyle had. Is it just, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense that we weren't created. The problem that Weissman had, saying it doesn't make sense we weren't created. Amongst the theologists, you definitely find people who believe that evolution did exist or doesn't exist. I don't believe the math makes sense.
It doesn't say...
I say that as a guy who has... I have a degree in computer science. Jeff Bezos of Amazon, my classmate.
Really?
Yes, really. Hey, Jeff, you're doing it wrong, Bubba.
And meanwhile, you know, he's going into space and you're stuck talking to me.
Actually, the latest is he's not going into space. They've spent more time trying to stop Elon Musk than they have. They're suing SpaceX. They're suing Starlink. Musk said... He has a tweet this morning, something like, you know, that Jeff Bezos' full-time job is filing legal complaints against Musk's companies to stop them from getting so far ahead.
It's just unbelievable.
And I tweeted, look, honestly, I have a bigger problem with the fact that he won't sell you When Harry Became Sally, but he will sell you Mein Kampf.
Mein Kampf.
But as far as it goes, Musk is right also.
You know, that just reminded me, we started talking about billionaires. Just see recently, they came out with, because, you know, the Democrats love their frivolous spending and their $5 trillion, you know, packages that lead to nothing. Did you see that they took all the billionaires that if they confiscated all of their assets, all of their money, that they would come up short. It was like $4.4 trillion if they confiscated every billionaire's net worth and their assets, that it would not equal to this ridiculous spending that the Democrats want to do because they want to keep spending money. Did you see that?
I did not. The interesting thing is that so many of these billionaires now are big tech leftists who are having recognized that they developed these so-called open platforms where anybody can have a voice and anybody can have free speech. And then they suddenly realize that they now have the incredible tool to control the dialogue. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is what Twitter discovered when they shut down the president's account. I mean, they'd already done it to people like Laura Loomer without consequence. So then they went after several other minor conservative figures. Then they went after Trump and they realized, oh my gosh, we can do this to anything we want. And that's how you have Twitter not allowing Trump to have a platform, but yes to the Taliban and yes to the Ayatollah, the genocidal Ayatollah of Iran. Now, that makes Jack Dorsey a supporter of terrorism and a supporter of genocide. But I don't think he realizes that that's what he's doing. Once you just use your tools to control the dialogue and of course, locking the New York Post for daring to point out completely true information that they had about Hunter Biden and his weird business dealings and his father's involvement in those weird business. Because we can't have a narrative come out before the election. They engage in this blatant, you know, the left was engaged in blatant protection of a guy who was hiding in a bunker. The whole election season, we never heard from Biden. It was all a vote engineered. Now, I'm not going to tell you the election was a fraudulent election. Mm-hmm. I am going to tell you that the election was the left deliberately misguiding the American people. And now, unfortunately, the truth is the buyer's remorse is incredible. Biden just did more damage to human rights, to religious liberties, to all forms of liberties, to women's rights in 40 days than all of the lies told about Trump piled one upon the other could possibly have done in 4 years if they had all actually been true.
Yeah.
they would not have reached to the toenails of what Biden just did.
It's unbelievable. And everybody's just sitting by quiet. They're all patting themselves on the back on Pennsylvania Avenue. They all did a great job.
And again, I don't say this as a partisan. I say this as a guy who's concerned about human rights.
Yes.
Who believes that women should have the right to, by the way, disagree with me. It's one of those things, you know, we celebrate the idea that everybody should have a voice. What was it that it was actually a woman who wrote 100 years ago that I disagree fervently with what you say, but I will fight to the death for your right to say it.
Yes, I use that often. And
civilization is moved forward when everybody has a voice. Shutting down debate is exactly what the Nazi brown shirts did. It's exactly what these demonstrators are doing on college campus. They won't let Ben Shapiro talk. They won't let an Israeli talk because they want to shut down that debate.
Control the narrative, control the information, dominate the argument by attempting to smear and destroy the opposing view because they know that their views and their policies are horrible. So that's the famous leftist tactic.
That is the way it's and hey, that's, you told me at the end we get to promote my podcast, and that's why it's called Inverted Planet.
Yes. As a matter of fact, I want you to, you have the podcast Inverted Planet. I want to, where can everybody find you? Where is Inverted Planet? Give us a little background on what the podcast is about. It's all going to be in the show notes. Everyone has to check it out. I mean, just you have a lot to say, and your views on like human rights and just the world in general. They should align with everybody, like you said, partisan. They should align with everybody as far as the world. But tell us about your podcast.
Okay. So I'm going to tell you a Jewish medrash first.
Okay.
One of the great rabbis had a son who became severely ill, nearly passed away, had a death experience, was resuscitated, and came back. And he asked his son, what did you see? Meaning, what did you see in the other world when you were there? And he said, I saw things upside down. The people who were great were lowly, and the people who were lowly were great. And the rabbi said to his son, you saw the correct world. We live in the upside down world. We live in the world where the bad is portrayed as good, the good is portrayed as bad. The people who are bad are portrayed as good, the people who are good people are portrayed as bad. And that's all, and that is the model. He said, you saw an inverted planet. You saw an upside down world. So that's where I got the title for the podcast.
Wow.
And you can find it on Apple Podcasts. You can find it at Google, your favorite podcast app. And you can also find it on YaakovMenken.com, YaakovMenken.com. And, you know, that's what we try to discuss. I try to do it weekly. Which means I better get one done within the next 2 days, or I'm behind 2 weeks instead of one.
You got op-eds to write. You got podcast episodes to do. Well, listen.
I'm just going
to
download your audio. I'm going to play this here as my podcast, too. How about that?
Hey, whatever.
So we'll promote you and me at the same time.
Absolutely. Listen, I really appreciate you taking the time to be with me. You had some amazing insight on everything.
I'm brilliant. It's just a thing.
It is. Maybe those pronouns you put on Twitter aren't trolling. Maybe you know.
No, that.
You know, really quick with pronouns, Instagram has pronouns, but you can't put anything you want. You have to scroll down. You have to either put him, her, they, there, whatever it is. Because I was trying to put in AR-15 and AK-47.
As your preferred pronouns.
As my pronouns, but it wouldn't let me. So anyway, everybody out there, go check out the Inverted Planet podcast. Rabbi
and CJValues.org. Gotta promote the organization.
It's all gonna be in the show notes. Rabbi Menken, I really appreciate it. You being here and sharing everything you did with us. Really, it was an honor to have you. I really thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. We gotta do this again.
Absolutely, definitely.
We did not run out of topics.
No, we didn't. There are topics I wanted to talk about we didn't even touch on, so I'm definitely having you back. Everybody out there, get all the episodes, thegreatdivide1776.com. Check out the Inverted Planet podcast. All the information will be in the show notes. Again, everyone out there, take care of yourselves, take care of each other, and most of all, God bless America. You take care. You can reach out to me with opinions and ideas for other episodes at thegreatdivide1776@gmail.com. You can also find me on social media at The Great Divide Podcast. And please be sure to leave a review for this podcast so the show can be shared to other listeners. Thank you, and God bless America.